You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 16th of September 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here, and you're either listening to this on your way home from work, or perhaps in your lunch hour, or downloading it over the weekend. But we know why you're here today. You're here today to hear from my guest. My co-host today is Grandpa Dan, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing? How's life treating you?
Oh, we're doing all right, Sven. I tell you what, this is it's a groundbreaking day here at the Daily Nationalist. We try to end the week, you know, with something humorous, lighthearted, if at all possible. Sometimes it's not possible. And, you know, we've covered over the years, we've been doing this a long time, you and I, and, you know, we've covered a lot of topics, from different angles, sometimes the same topics. Lots of transgender stories on Friday, and this is sort of related to that, but we'll get to it here as we go along. But today, folks, we are breaking new ground. We're covering something I know we've never covered here at Radio Albion or the Daily Nationals. That's right, we're talking donkey dingus.
We certainly are. And how do the donkey dingus fit in? Well, Nigerian officials have intercepted 7,000 donkey penises at an international airport after the smell from the packages aroused suspicion. Imagine that. 7,000 donkey penises stinking away at an international airport, and they thought they were going to be able to get away with this. Why didn't they vacuum pack them? Why didn't they pack them into ice or something? I don't know. I mean, were these donkey penises supposed to be fresh? What were they going to be used for? Did they want them to be rotting and stinking? In any case, the Nigerian officials discovered the donkey penis shipment, and they stopped them from getting into the airplane and stinking out the cabin. Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I purposely picked this show or this topic because I wanted to listen to you try to get through it with more or less a straight face. And it's going to be extremely difficult when you have lines like the packages of penis aroused suspicion. It aroused suspicion. Yes, I don't know. Maybe they don't have, you know, because I've got like a little vacuum pack machine. And you can take any kind of leftovers, you know, like leftover food, or like if you've got some meat, like chicken or beef, not donkey dingus, but it probably would work. I assume it would work for donkey dingus. And like, you know, you're not going to be able to cook it. You've got this chicken. I got chicken legs. I use that because it closely illustrates with our donkey dingus story. And you've got these chicken drumsticks. And it's like, well, I'm not going to cook these before they're going to go bad because you get the little date on the package. I have no idea if there's dates on the packages for donkey dingus, but you put them in these bags and you stick it in the vacuum machine. It's a handy little machine, and you hit it and it goes and it sucks all the air out and then seals the bag with a heat. It heats the bag and seals it, and you don't have to worry. Your drumsticks don't go bad. Perhaps in Nigeria, they do not have vacuum pack technology, because if they did, these donkey dinguses would not go to waste. This is like a donkey holocaust, because 7,000 donkeys have sacrificed their penises for this cause. And look, they've just gone to rot. They've just gone to absolute waste. It's a true crying shame, Sven. It's a crying shame.
They must have just put them in Hessian sacks or something. Now, the donkey penises were being smuggled to Hong Kong in 16 sacks, but customs officials at Murtala Mohammed Airport in the Nigerian city of Lagos intercepted the packages. So they were just openly there in brown sacks. 16 sacks of donkey penises. I mean, I should imagine that whoever it was that was trying to smuggle these had some kind of a deal with the customs officials, and he was expecting them to just let this go. But I guess they couldn't, because the aroma that was arising from these sacks full of donkey penises was just too much. I mean, I really doubt whether the customs are that hot at this Nigerian airport in Lagos, but they did manage to catch identify these sacks, but they didn't manage to capture the guy that was actually trying to smuggle them. And I find that rather suspicious, because normally if you're putting something on a plane, you have to give your name and address and everything else, or you certainly have to in the West. Perhaps it's different in Nigeria. What do you make of the fact that these were being sent to Hong Kong in 16 sacks, Grandpa?
16 sacks. I'm just trying to think of the 16 sacks, but that's 7,000 donkey dingus in 16. Those are big sacks. I mean, this isn't just like you get your leftover plastic bags from when you go to the grocery store and you throw your donkey dingus in it and wrap it up and you just like put it under your coat. I mean, you got 7,000 of these things in 16 sacks. I was just fixing to do the math real quick, but then I ran out of time because my computer is so old and tired. It, like, you hit a command, it's like, pull up the calculator, and the computer's like, yeah, I'll get to that here in a little bit. So I didn't have time, but that's a lot of dingus per sack. I mean, 7,000 in 16 sacks. So I'm assuming these had to be loaded. I mean, were we supposed to believe the people at the airport? Because, you know, you like, if you're ever sitting on a plane and you look out the window, one of the things you do while you're just bored sitting there waiting to take off is you watch out the window, watch the baggage handlers. So you got all these guys and they got the cart, and they're no doubt like probably using forklifts to lift these bags, and they're putting these, loading these donkey dingus. And as you pointed out, they obviously weren't vacuum packed, cold sealed or anything. I guess they just had them wrapped up in like burlap sacks of donkey dingus, and they're loading these on. I mean, this is sort of like, you know, so there was one guy apparently who wasn't getting paid off, and he was the one that must have busted this, because everybody else, the baggage handlers, weren't aware they were loading this stuff. Obviously they were, but somebody got missed. Somebody didn't get paid off, and as a result, somebody in Hong Kong will not be getting their prized shipment of dingus.
Well, Sambo Dangaladima, the customs controller, that is his actual name, the customs controller at the airport, told the BBC that the animal parts were found in sacks in the animal export section. So at least they did label them correctly. They said this was the animal export section. But, is it legal to export animals from Nigeria? What sort of animals were they expecting to find there? Live animals or dead animals? He said the pungent smell was coming from the bags, arousing suspicion among the customs officers, who then opened the packages to find the 7,000 donkey penises. So he must have been aware of what that smell was, I think. Otherwise, I mean, why would it arouse suspicion? What was this smell that aroused the suspicion? Could it have been something that they were aware of? Because apparently things like this do happen in Africa. There is a market for donkey penises, and the market actually comes from the Chinese. They use these donkey penises in their traditional medicine and also in their traditional dishes of food. You'll find, if you look up Chinese cuisine on the internet, you'll find they have all sorts of interesting things that they like to eat. Grandpa, what do you make of this Sambo Dangaladima?
Sambo, yes. And I'm glad we linked the article, because people may think we're just trying to be funny coming up with these names, but no, Sambo Dangaladima. He's on top of it. I can imagine the smell. It arouses suspicion. I should imagine. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, you know, perhaps things at the Nigerian airport don't smell very good all at all. Because, like, if you talk to people that like fly, that have been to places like India, and really it's a true story. If you talk to people that have been, say, to India, and they will tell you that when you get off the plane, when you land in India for the first time, you get off the plane, they say the smell just hits you in the face. They said, you will never forget the smell. It is so bad. The stench everywhere is so bad. And I don't know if it's like that in Nigeria. I'm going to assume that it's probably not like a cool, fresh mountain breeze. So I can imagine how pungent the smell of 7,000 fermenting donkey dingus. Perhaps we should call them tallywhackers. The dawn of 7,000 fermenting donkey dinguses. That's a pretty pungent odor. So even if you have like a background smell here going on at the Nigerian airport, obviously the stench from 7,000 very ripe donkey dingus is going to override that. As we were going through this, so we were looking at the story too. You know, I mean, we just assumed like the donkeys are killed, you know, to harvest the dingus, but perhaps not. Perhaps are the jacks being turned into jinnies? We may be having this may actually be a transphobic story, because this could the donkeys could just be transitioning from jacks to jinnies, and now they're just they're trans. We got to get that in. It's a Friday edition. You know, we have to get some sort of transgender angle. Maybe they're tranny donkeys, Finn. What do you say?
That could be possible. That could be what's going on here. But it does tell us, in actual fact, that it's to do with this Chinese medicine. Dangala Dima said that a suspect linked to the shipment, which is worth an estimated 200 million naira, which is £416,000, managed to escape. And again, I mean, that just wouldn't happen in the West, would it? If somebody had paid to put something on a plane, you would be able to find out exactly who it was. So what happened here, I mean, you can just imagine this this little Nigerian running away from the airport, and he's just ran too fast for the customs officials to actually be able to catch him. I think what's happened here is, as you pointed out, Grandpa, there was somebody in this who wasn't paid. And they were the one that raised the alarm here. And of course, by that time, the guy that had actually put the shipment there, the one that was supposed to be making the money from it, all the rest of them are saying, well, we can't find him. We're not quite sure what his name is, et cetera, et cetera. The illicit trade of donkey parts, including the animal's penises and skin, from Nigeria to China is common. The animal parts are used in China to make a traditional medicine called Ijayo, and I should imagine that is some kind of stimulant aphrodisiac medicine. I know they like tiger penises as well in China, but this obviously must be quite a common occurrence, because they say that this trade is quite common. So why don't we hear about this more often? Well, as I say, I think it's because the one person that was involved in this was not actually paid. He didn't get his backsheesh. But there is also the donkey charities, and we'll hear about them later on. But these donkey charities, you know, they have to have things like this happen to highlight the fact that they need money to actually create breeding programs to create more donkeys in Nigeria, because Nigeria has a shortage of donkeys. And this is why. I'm surprised they don't actually eat them, that they sell them to China. I have heard from people that live in Africa, and they say that the Africans will literally eat anything that moves. They'll come out with a club and bash it over the head, and they'll cook it. So it's surprising that there are any donkeys left, and it's surprising that they haven't actually eaten them all. But no, they do actually go on medicine to China. Any thoughts on Chinese traditional medicine, Grandpa?
I'm sitting here looking at, I did the quick math here. I used the calculator on my phone because, like I said, my computer's so slow. It takes it too long. It's behind the curve. It's still trying to figure out the earlier math. This comes out to, let's see, they said £416,000. That's $59. That's 59.43. That's 59 pounds, 59 quid per dingus. Talking high dollar here, high money trade here. You know, you start racking it up like that. You can see, because, yeah, I mean, Nigeria and Africa, I mean, that's a lot of money. So it's, you can see why they're moving this around. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, it's weird for us. It's funny because of all the names we get called, but I'm actually understanding that you have these other countries and these other races of people, and they have a different culture. I mean, we laugh at this, it's funny. You've got these Nigerians harvesting donkey dingus for big bucks to ship them to Hong Kong so they could make, I guess, some kind of remedy or something out of these disgusting donkey dinguses. You know, but I mean, these are different people, and they have these different cultures. You know, we don't hear about these things because the people that want to preach to us constantly about diversity is our strength. They want to whitewash, you know, the fact that there are real differences. We read this story, we laugh about it, and we actually find it somewhat revolting on one level or another. But it's just because these are different people. You know, I mean, I would not be, you know, going down to the pharmacy, for instance, to get some home remedy made out of real, genuine Nigerian donkey dingus. But those people will, and obviously they'll pay big money for it. So, I mean, but this is just the reality that you have these different peoples, these different cultures that are associated with these different races of people. And they do. They have a different way about them. And it's, you know, like I say, those who promote the constant drumbeat of diversity here in our own countries, you know, they want to whitewash it and act like everybody around the world is exactly the same. And obviously they're not. I mean, they just have a different way. And of course, when you try to ignore these facts, you're going to wind up with friction. You wind up with people, for instance, that find this highly offensive. How, you know, they're doing this to these donkeys, and these people in Hong Kong and China are making these weird. Why are they doing these things? But it's just because they are different. They are different people. This is why we're better off not trying to force everybody together, because you wind up with this friction and this clash of cultures and customs and ways. This is why everybody is better off with Chinese, you know, being in China, and Nigerians being Nigeria, et cetera, et cetera. That was my serious take for the story. There won't be any more. It'll be back to chuckling about donkey dingus from here on, I promise.
Well, they do have a different culture. They do have different traditions. I mean, the Chinese have this dish called three squeak mice, which is basically just barely a day old mice that have just been born. And they literally eat them while they are alive, as well as eating these donkey dinguses. In June, the Nigerian Customs Service said that they had intercepted three 100-kilo bags filled with donkey genitalia and 3,712 pieces of donkey skin at an airport. 4 months earlier in March, four suspects were arrested while they were trying to smuggle 2,754 donkey penises and 3,712 pieces of skin. So the same number were actually being intercepted earlier in March, as well as being caught the week just before that as well. I mean, this is something that seems to keep happening in Nigeria. You would think, well, you know, why don't they breed some donkeys and sell them? Because apparently Nigeria has lost over £6 billion to the illicit trade of smuggling donkey parts to China from 2018 to 2018, officials said. So this is what they're really concerned about, is the fact that they're not actually making any money from this. I mean, if you've got donkeys and the donkeys have ended up finishing off their useful life, they've been used for as transport or whatever it is that they get used for in Nigeria, and they end up dying. What's wrong with when they die, actually selling the skin and the penis to China? I'm sure the Nigerians themselves would actually eat the rest of the donkey and then sell the other parts of it to China. That would seem to make sense to me. But apparently, no, they've made it illegal. And apparently, they just don't have enough donkeys anymore in Nigeria. They're an endangered species in Nigeria. What do you make of these other instances of these donkey dicks being caught by customs, Grandpa?
Well, you know, I mean, $59 a dingus, it's you know, and again, it's a poor country, so that's a lot of money. You know, you're not going to stop it. You know, I don't know what they don't tell us what the punishment is to get caught smuggling donkey dingus, whereas there is a demand, there will be those who are willing, you know, there's enough money involved to feed that demand. It's hard for us to imagine that there's people that, you know, there is this actual demand for this, but obviously there is, and obviously with the money being there, it's going to be pretty much impossible to stop it. How are you going to stop the illicit trade of donkey dingus? I don't think you can, Sven. I don't think you can.
It's $1 billion trade, isn't it? £1 billion trade in donkey dicks. It is illegal in Nigeria to kill donkeys for their body parts and smuggle them to foreign countries. But illicit smuggling continues. Well, is it legal then to kill them and officially sell them to foreign countries? I mean, it doesn't say. It just says it's illegal to smuggle donkey parts to foreign countries. And the illicit smuggling continues. The Donkey Dealers Association of Nigeria this week urged the Nigerian government to prosecute those who engage in the indiscriminate killing of donkeys and the smuggling of their animal parts outside the country. So the people that don't discriminate against the killing of donkeys, they want them to be prosecuted. The charity said they have invested millions into the breeding of donkeys, but the smugglers are sabotaging their efforts. And I find that interesting, you know, because they're sort of saying, give us more money for the breeding of the donkeys. And then they breed the donkeys. And what happens to the donkeys? The smugglers capture the donkeys and they take the parts from the donkeys that they need, and then they sell them to China. And then there aren't enough donkeys again, and the charity has to ask for people to send millions of dollars in again so that they can breed the donkeys again. And then the smugglers catch them again. It almost makes you think that perhaps the smugglers themselves might actually be working with the donkey charity. And you can imagine all these little old ladies in Britain, oh, let's help the poor donkeys in Nigeria. We'll send the money to the charity there. And then, of course, once they've bred these donkeys, they just end up being harvested by the so-called smugglers, who apparently are sabotaging their efforts. Grandpa, are you willing to send money over to the donkey breeding charity to help them foil the smugglers?
Yeah, no, and I think you've probably pretty much hit the nail on the head. These things aren't really hard to figure out, the scams. It's a Nigerian scam. Yeah, it's not really hard to figure out kind of these angles, and I think, like I said, I think you've probably hit it on the head. The smugglers sabotaging the donkey breeding efforts. It's one world, isn't it? We're all just, there's only just one race, man, the human race. We need to get up to speed. So somehow we have to either stop the demand for donkey dingus, or maybe we need to start understanding the true health benefits of using donkey dingus for a medicinal purposes. I don't know. It's hard to say. Will you be thinking about that, Sven? Maybe you could use a little donkey dingus in your medicine cabinet. Might help you out a little bit.
I think I'll leave the Chinese cuisine to the Chinese. But we do have some more news from Africa. Pilots on a passenger plane fell asleep mid-flight and couldn't be woken by air traffic controllers before landing. But Ethiopian Airlines flight ET343, travelling from Khartoum in Sudan to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia on August the 15th, miraculously landed without any injuries. The pilots had been due to begin their descent to Addis Ababa Airport, but were still cruising at 37,000 feet. According to the Aviation Herald, air traffic control attempted to contact the pilots, but were unsuccessful. Finally, the crew awoke after the aircraft's autopilot disconnected and sounded an alarm, and the pilots managed to land the plane safely. And right at this very moment in Britain, we have this big drive to get more black people to join the RAF, and they're actually not allowing white people to apply. They're so keen to get black people to join the RAF. But what has happened here? Well, we have two black airline pilots who have apparently just fell asleep, and they almost crashed the plane if this alarm hadn't gone off to wake them up. And we quite regularly hear of these sort of things happening in Ethiopia with Ethiopian airlines. I seem to recall you telling me a story something like this some years back, Grandpa. Can you recall what that is? An aviation story with African pilots?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was when they were having the big scandal over the Boeing MAX planes, because they had two big crashes. And one of them, as I recall, was Ethiopia Airlines. And I was saying at the time, you know, because they had this complicated system they put on the plane, it was really not a very good design, because they were trying to make the plane do more than it really should have. But, you know, the hiccups they wound up with the system. I mean, American pilots had run into that, but, you know, they followed the procedures and kept control of the airplane. But then you had Ethiopia Airlines and, you know, you had this horrific crash that killed all these people. And people get on there and it's like, well, your first hit is don't fly Ethiopia Airlines. Everybody's pointing at the airplane like, oh my gosh, yes, this Boeing airplane is so bad. It's killing all these people. It's like, look, you're getting on Ethiopia Airlines. You know, you pretty much know you're taking your chances by getting on Ethiopia Airlines. You know, the pilot requirements, the number of hours and the corruption that goes on for these things. People just don't understand. You have these idiot, you know, naive people from the West, and they wander into these places and get on Ethiopia Airlines, and they think it's no different than flying American Airlines or Southwest or whatever here in the U.S. And it's nowhere near the same. I mean, the pilot requirements to fly for the airlines here in the U.S. is you got to have like a minimum, I think, of like 2,000 hours logged in. Well, for Ethiopia Airlines, it's like 400 hours. I had a story years ago relayed to me because you have all these foreigners from places like Ethiopia, and they'll come over here to the U.S. and get their flight training in. And somebody told me a story years ago. This is one of these guys from one of these countries. And I don't remember if it was from the Middle East or from Africa. I want to say it was an African country, but I don't remember. It's been so long. And this person came over here and did flight lessons. Well, they went for their check ride and the guy got failed because he was just dangerous. It was horrible. It was an absolute danger to himself and the public. So he takes like a second check ride and gets failed again because, again, he can't do this. And he looks at the examiner and he says, how much is this going to cost me? How much do you want? Because he assumes he's being failed, not because he's incompetent, but because the guy wants a bribe. So he starts trying to bribe the examiner to pass him. And the examiner's like, yeah, no, that's not the way it works here. You don't pay us off. And the guy says, you don't understand. My family is well connected in my country. So all I have to do is get this certificate and I go back to my country and I will be an airline pilot. Okay. This guy was too dangerous to fly a little, you know, single engine prop airplane, you know, and not be a danger. All he needed was the piece of paper and he goes back to Ethiopia or wherever the hell he comes from and stamp, stamp, stamp. You're now an airline pilot. That's what you're dealing with when you go to some place like this and get on Ethiopia Airlines. It's not surprising at all. They just set the autopilot and went to sleep and then they all just overslept. How you sleep through that? I'm not sure. There could have been drugs involved. I don't know. Who's going to know? Finally, well, the autopilot, you've reached the destination. Thank goodness they didn't have the autopilot set up to where it would go ahead and start its descent. So they were still at cruising altitude. Thank goodness for that. Well, the autopilot kicks off because it's like, well, we're at our destination. And it sets off an alarm and it's like an alarm clock. It wakes up the pilots. For Ethiopia Airlines. No, I will not be flying Ethiopia Airlines, fan.
You would be taking your life in your hands, and you might also find that there's a bit of a pungent smell when you got on the plane as well, if someone's trying to smuggle donkey dicks on there. Well, thankfully, the pilots managed to land the plane safely. It stayed on the runway for around 2.5 hours before departing for its next flight. I guess they had to check the plane over to see if there was something within the plane that had caused it not to land when it should have done. The aircraft had overflown the runway, although pilots managed to make another approach when they were roused. Aviation analyst Alex Makaris wrote on Twitter, "Deeply concerning incident at Africa's largest airline, Ethiopian Airlines Boeing 737 ET-343, was still at cruising altitude of 37,000 feet by the time it reached destination Addis Ababa. Why hadn't it started to descend for landing? Both pilots were asleep." That he said pilot fatigue is nothing new in the aviation industry. So I guess they're saying that this is nothing new. This happens all the time. And there are other people that sent to Twitter saying that they'd fallen asleep at the wheel as well. I mean, is that the sort of thing you expect from airline pilots? We know how dangerous it can be with people in driving lorries and driving heavy goods vehicles. I should imagine it could be just as dangerous trying to fly an aeroplane when both the pilots fell asleep. I mean, it's not like one of them just thought he'd have a little nap. Both of them actually fell asleep at the wheel of an airplane. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, like I said, don't get on Ethiopia Airlines. You know, if you do, understand that you really are taking your life in your own hands. And you talked about people trying to compare this. It's just silly. People trying to compare this. Well, I mean, you know, I've fallen asleep behind the wheel. That's because normally if you fall asleep behind the wheel driving your car, if a truck driver starts dozing off behind the wheel, he's by himself. We're talking a situation that would be the equivalent of you're driving your truck, your lorry down the road. You're driving your lorry down the road and you've got two other lorry drivers in the cab with you. And you're still falling asleep at the wheel and the two other lorry drivers aren't doing a thing about it. They're just sitting over there. I guess they're asleep too. That would be the equivalent of it because you basically have, obviously you have a pilot and co-pilot, but generally you have three capable pilots in the cabin of an airplane. Maybe not for Ethiopia Airlines, but there are at least two because it's a minimum requirement. So you got everybody. This isn't like you're driving through the desert by yourself alone at 2 a.m. and you nod off behind the wheel and you hit the drunk bumps on the side of the road and it wakes you up. I mean, you've got somebody else, at least one other person that's supposed to, you know, be working with you in there. They just try to blow this off like, oh, yes, this could happen anywhere. No, it doesn't. This doesn't happen, you know, in white-run airlines. Let's just say it. It doesn't happen. This is what you get when you get on Ethiopia Airlines. Probably the only thing that would have kept them awake is the pungent odor if 7,000 donkey dingus is on board the airplane. It just this is what you get. And you gotta, like I said, if you're gonna get on Ethiopia Airlines, you're taking your risk. You should know that going into it.
Just be careful if you're flying around Africa. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.